Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday. I'm your host, Diane Adams. Always, it's a privilege and it's an honor to come before the people of God so that we can fellowship in the Word of God, one with another. And for that, I say thank you, first to God, and then you as well. Well, as always, it's a pleasure to be able to come on Wednesday night and we explore the Word of God together. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I pray that you had a wonderful week and God delivered blessings that you may have been in need of and delivered what you have been asking for and allow you to feel his presence even more. I want you to know that our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Galatians. Galatians is one of the letters that Paul wrote. And we know that there's 13 letters. And we've already touched on Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. And tonight we're in the book of Galatians. Our title of the lesson is God's Love Fulfilled the Law. We're going to be in Galatians 5. 1 through 12. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and play a song. And I think that this song is so appropriate because the title of the song is Jesus is the Only Way. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the only way. The song speaks of we can't get to the Father unless we go through the Son. Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and play the song. And once the song has ended, we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer. And then we'll explore the Word of God together. Listen to the song and be blessed.
Everywhere that I go, I must tell everyone of the Savior I
And that was Yolanda Adams letting us know that Jesus Christ is the only way. We see that Paul, in his letters to the different churches, is trying to get the Christians to understand that Jesus is the only way. At this time, we have to go to the throne of grace in prayer. If anyone would like to pray for us tonight, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic. If anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. You have allowed your believers, and maybe there's someone listening that don't know you in a part of their sins, come together again to explore the word of God together. And for that, I say thank you. I thank you, dear God, because you're such a faithful God, a loving God, a caring God. You have allowed us to partake in your righteousness because we could never become righteous, dear God. And for that, I say thank you. Lord, I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for Paul, the apostle, that wrote all of these letters with explanations and given us insight and taken away the error that one might believe, and having us to focus on our source, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear God. I thank you, dear God, for each and every listener that call in, and I'm asking that you bless them and bless their homes and their finances, dear God. Bless their health, dear God. Help them to control their mind. Order their footsteps in your word, dear God. Allow this word to be a lamp unto their feet and a light to their pathway. Lord, I am so grateful and I'm so thankful that you are my God, that you are all of our gods, dear God, and you're faithful. I thank you, dear God, for allowing us to come together week after week to join in a fellowship one with another. Lord, I pray that this word don't return void, that the Holy Ghost give each and every person illumination and revelation of what the word of God is trying to tell us. Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you're worthy. Lord, I decrease as you increase. Hallelujah. Lord, just be with us and guide us and protect us because we're living in trying times, dear God. Everybody is seeming to do what seemeth right in their own eyes. Satan is controlling and making things that are right appear to be wrong. But Lord, we know there's no right way to do wrong, and you can't find a wrong way and make it right. Lord, you say you'll straighten the crooked roads and you could do anything but fail. And Lord, I'm grateful and I'm thankful. And just have your way, dear God, in our lives. Because it's not about our will, but it's your will. It's not about what we can do. It's about what you have already done. Teach us, dear God. Strengthen us that we may grow in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, hence, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, since some more callers have called in, again, I'll give you the title of the lesson or the subject of the lesson. And I gave this lesson this title, God's Love Fulfilled the Law. And we coming from the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 12th verse. And I'm going to do a little background as we always do. I want you to know that the book of Corinthians, the book of Galatians, is clearly written by Paul. You see, this book wasn't written to just one church. And we know that because if you read the different chapters in the book, it said the letter to the churches of Galatia. You see, Galatia was a very large territory in the Roman Empire, and it wasn't just one church, but there were several churches. And Paul wrote this letter and probably sent it to each person, each church. You see, you can already sense what Paul's focus is. Paul is letting us know, as he let the Galatians at that time know, that Jesus Christ is more than enough, and that the law is never enough. The book of Galatians gives us the knowledge we need to know that we can't be saved by works. You know, it's never about what we do, but what Christ has done. We have to keep that in our forefront, unless we could walk around as Christians in bondage, confused on every side. It's not about what you can do. Am I telling you don't need to do good works? You don't need to give? You don't need to share? You don't need to love? I'm not saying none of that. But it's all about what Jesus has done. It is completely a free gift, but at a costly price. Because every time we read John 3:16, we should remember that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God sent his Son, and we know this because the scripture tells us, and all the whole Bible points to Jesus Christ. And we know that God did this out of love for us. He gave his only begotten Son. And if you could have achieved it by good deeds and works, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. And surely he wouldn't have had to die. You see, in the book of Galatians, there was a lot of disagreements going on. You know, one side says salvation is by grace and grace alone. You know, the other side countered that idea lead to lawlessness. Many people believe that grace only is too easy. They can't comprehend how it could be. But again, we're talking about God's grace. All of his riches that he gave at Christ's expense. You see, God's righteous standard in the law must be upheld. That's what they would say. You see, the other side chimes in with salvation is by grace, but grace only come to those who obey the law. Now, you can look back further and you know that that's not true, because God granted Abraham grace. And Abraham was before the law. And Abraham was our example how to receive righteousness. They say Abraham believed God, and because of that, God counted righteousness unto him. The law wasn't in place when Abraham was granted grace and had righteousness counted unto him. You see, the Jews in Galatians wanted the new converts, the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles were beginning to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ in these different churches. And we know that that was a part of Paul's assignment, because it explains in the book of Acts when it was open to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews, but the Gentiles as well, not just male, but female as well, not just, circumcised, not just those circumcised, but to the uncircumcised as well. Jesus paid the price for all, and all to him we owe. You see, the Jews wanted, you know, these false teachers and this misinterpretation, and everything had entered the church. And I need to tell you right now, we're in the year 2017, and it's 2,000 years has passed since Jesus came, and it was about in 50, the year 50. So Jesus was 33 when he died. So if you say it was in the year 50, it was what, 17, 33, 40, 50. 17 years after Jesus had died and went and sat at the right hand of the Father, that Paul is writing to the Galatians. And they had the problem then. But if you look around, we still have some of the same problems in the church. You know, they say the interpretation of the Bible, you know, one person interpreted to this and one interpreted to that. I might not understand all of the interpretations to the letter, but I do know that Jesus is the only way. You see, they wanted the Gentiles who was coming and accepting Christ as their Savior to join the Judaism religion that they believed in first, and that would be the only way they could become a Christian. And if you look in the, I think it's the third chapter in his book, Paul told him, he said, "You foolish Galatians, listen to what, you know, they was asking the people to do." And you have to ask yourself, if you got a strong foundation, what profit would it be unto you? You see, it's amazing that Paul was killed for his belief, and today we have freedom and don't understand or embrace the gospel at all costs. You know, Paul was martyred. He was killed for wanting to share the word of God with people. And here now we have the freedom to practice our religion and the freedom to share the word of God with people. And you could only ask yourself, what are you doing? And can God use you? You see, God chose Paul. You know, we could look at all of the people in the Bible, and you might say, well, why he chose Mary? Why he chose Timothy? You know, but God has a reason and a purpose for everything he do. You know, the word of God was written by 40 men from all walks of life. Paul was one of them men. And you might ask yourself sometime, or ponder on it, why? But I wanted to let you know that if you know the history that we have been studying for these weeks of Paul, Paul was a teacher of the Judaism religion, and he knew it well. He had high standards in it, and I don't know if anybody could beat him with the information of Judaism. But you see, once he received the truth, he would also be a faithful Christian and teaching the doctrine of Christianity. And I, you know, looked at that and say maybe that was one of the reasons why God chose Paul to bring the word to the Gentiles and the Christians as well. Paul knew the difference between Christianity and Judaism more than anyone else. You see, an all-important difference between Christianity and Judaism is the person of Jesus Christ. You see, we Christians believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, being the Savior, and God's Son. You know, that's what we believe. We believe the prophecy that went forth. You see, Judaism, which is a religion of the Jews, even still today, Judaism often recognized Jesus as a good teacher and perhaps even a prophet of God. Judaism does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And let's take it a step further. Christianity teaches that Jesus was God in the flesh. You know, in John 1:1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Hallelujah. We believe that Jesus was God in the flesh and that God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ so that he could lay down his life to pay the price of our sins. Judaism strongly denies that Jesus was God. And watch this, or that such a sacrifice was even necessary. They believe they could work their way into salvation. They believe that the Messiah haven't come. They even wondering after so long, will there be a Messiah? But while they're waiting, they're going to do the best they say they can. That's just like the Muslims, the Nation of Islam. But Jesus is the only way. And God does not need your help to be God. You know, after I said Muslim, it brought to my mind ISIS. And ISIS is a terrorist group, and they do suicide bombings and stuff, and they say it's all in the name of God. But if they sit back and think a while and hold on to their teaching, God does not need their help. But that's when you got misunderstanding, and that's what they're being taught. So I'm suggesting to each and every one of us that we get a strong foundation in what we believe so we can never be turned around. That's our background for tonight, and we're going to go into the scripture. For those who have your Bibles, turn your Bible to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is in the New Testament. You know, the Bible has 66 books. And there's 39 books in the Old Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. We started off in January in the book of Genesis. We completed the Old Testament, which was 39 books. We are now in the New Testament, and the first four books of the New Testament is called the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's one book of history in the New Testament, and that's the book of the Acts. Now, after Acts, there's 13 Paulinia letters, as they call the letters of Paul, which are epistles. And in the epistles of Paul, there's 13 of them. And we have done Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and tonight we're in Galatians. So looking at this, if as of tonight we would have finished 9 books in the New Testament, we know we have 18 more books, the rest of the letters of Paul. And then there's 8 general letters that's written by someone else. But after we finish the letters of Paul and go into the general letters that was written by individuals, and one of them, Hebrews, the author is unknown, there will only be one book left, and that's the book of prophecy. So in the New Testament, we see that it's the gospel, history, letters of Paul, general letters, and then prophecy. So I hope that helped you. And look, are we making the Bible appear smaller? Before you start studying and getting into the Word of God, the Bible looks so large, so big, so unreachable that you don't think you could comprehend it, and you could never get any understanding of it. But if you walk it, you meditate on it, and you study it, you could connect the dots. You know, it's often said that you have to put a precept upon precept. That's what studying the Word of God does. And we're going to go into our scriptures tonight. I'm in Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and 4th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free." Stand in what Christ has done for you. Act like it. Why would you accept Christ as your Savior? And the Bible says that you are now a new creature, and then you go back and pick up and do the things that you did when you was an old creature. Yes, I know all of us fall short. But, you know, and plenty of times we say the things I used to do, why I don't do anymore. But you got to work at trying to not do some of them that you're still maybe doing. He say, "And be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." You see, all of that's bondage. And 2 said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." You see, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish religious leaders was telling the Gentiles as they came in that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. And they believed it. But Paul said it profits nothing. And 3rd verse say, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." You know, the Bible says when they had the law, that if you messed up in one law, you know, you just messed up. You know, you had to do them all perfectly for it to count. And we know that could never happen. So Paul is saying, if you're going to stick with being circumcised as being necessary to be saved, then you let that be what you think could be your salvation. But if you're going to be a debtor to it, and the scripture says, and you have to do the whole law. You see, in the 4th verse say, "Christ is become of no effect unto you." If you're going to use circumcision as your guide, then why would you need Christ? "Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye have fallen from grace." That's powerful. You see, conflicts between grace and the law can arise when someone misunderstands the purpose of the law. They redefine grace as something other than God's benevolence on the undeserving, and they even try to earn their own salvation or supplement Christ's sacrifice with other things. They follow the error of the Pharisees by tracking man-made rituals and tradition into the doctrine. They fail to focus on the whole counsel of God and his master plan of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. You see, you got to understand what the law was about. The law was given to separate God's people from the evil nations around himself. You know, he had to separate his people from the evil nations. The law revealed our need for salvation. You see, the law just pointed out the sins. Come on, y'all. The law was put in place to let you know if you wasn't doing these laws that you were sinning. You see, before God gave the law, there was no law. And how could he hold people accountable when there was no law? When God decided to let them be their, his holy nation, and he gave them the promised land, and he said, now y'all going into the promised land, and I made you a nation, I need to set down some rules and regulation, and he used the law. You see, the law in itself was good, but it was weak in that it lacked the power to change a sinful heart. You see, keeping the law as interpreted by the Pharisees had came so oppressive and overwhelming, they became a burden. And look what happened. They kept adding to the law. To the final count was somewhere around 613. And if you're going to be saved by the law, you had to do each one of them perfect. Now let's just do the math. Man in and of itself could never accomplish any a goal like that. But thanks be to God, he knew it, and we're going to see it. You see, there is no conflict between grace and the law if it is properly understood. I came to tell you tonight, and the title of the lesson is Christ's Love Fulfilled the Law. You know, they would always say that the law was no good and Jesus wanted to abolish the law. He didn't abolish the law. He fulfilled the law, and he did it all with love. What they tell you, love can hide a multitude of sins. You see, we are saved by grace through faith. And I could put a period there. I'm going to say it again. We are saved by grace through faith. You see, the keeping of the law cannot save anyone. It couldn't do it then, and it cannot do it now. You know, they have people that you could ask them if they saved. They've been in a church for 50 years, and, you know, I'm sure they heard somewhere down the line that God's grace is sufficient, and they heard what God had did as a sacrifice by sacrificing his son for the own undeserving and giving us grace. And yet they say, I'm trying to be saved. So that seemed hard. God didn't design it that way. Read the scriptures. He wanted to take the burden. Didn't he say in the word of God, take this yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burdens are light? Why would he say that if he wanted you burdened down at every twist and turn? Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I made a mistake today. Dust yourself off and turn around and then do better tomorrow. Christ has made us free, so why would we allow others to place us in bondage? You know, some things is still being said in the church, and they say, you know, woman should not preach. Don't let no woman be in the pulpit. Or you should go to church on Sunday, like if going to church could save you. They say, you know, there's some other religion that says you must go to church on Saturday. I think that's the Seventh-day Adventist, because they believe the Sabbath was at that time and not Sunday. We know that things have been changed, but I could tell you from what I believe and what I think about God, if I go to church and worship him on Saturday, he'll say it as well. And if I go to church on Sunday and worship him, I believe he'll say it as well. Even if I go to church on Friday night, it is well. It's not about the day that I do it. It's about the worship that I render. Come on, y'all. Take the yoke off your neck. sometimes people say you can't take communion if you did something that you shouldn't have done the night before. The Bible say before you take your communion, judge yourself. And if you judge yourself and something is wrong, you ask for forgiveness, you're all right. Take your communion and go on in Jesus' name and do better the next time. You know, they say ladies wearing pants in the church is a sin. And here we look at the Galatians tonight, and they're saying you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You see, circumcision is a surgical removal of the foreskin of a male. The word circumcised literally means to cut around. To cut around and take away the excess. As a religious rite, circumcision was required of all of Abraham's descendants as a sign of the covenant that he made with God. Say that again. Circumcision was required of all of Abraham's descendants as a sign of the covenant God made with him. Now, that was a covenant then. And yes, it was an agreement, because that's what a covenant is. But you see, that was the old covenant. Y'all got to remember that Jesus Christ is the new covenant. Come on now. Just keep that in mind. You see, the Masonic law repeated the requirements, and the Jews throughout the centuries have committed to practice circumcision. There are different issues involved in the question whether or not males today should be circumcised. You see, in one issue, it is a religious teaching. And the other issue that man use now is, say, for health reason. And you have to decide for yourself, should you be circumcised or not, or your children, your sons, or whatever. But I want to let you know that you don't have to be circumcised to receive salvation. Hallelujah. You can still take your communion once you judge yourself. I don't think wearing pants gonna save you or send you to hell. That's all a part of religion. The Christian view of circumcision is probably best described as a combination of the two. Keep that in mind. Paul lets us know that circumcision or uncircumcision has no profit unto God, that it's a form of bondage, not of grace. And I've tried to find a scripture on it, and I went to Romans in the 29th verse. I went to the 29th chapter. Or was it the 29th verse in a different chapter? I'll give it to anybody if they want it. But they say, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the spirit, not by the letter. It's saying God ordered them to be circumcised, and that circumcision was made by man's hands. But he tell you that we that have Christ living inside of us, you know, circumcision was taking away something you think wasn't necessary. And God saying in the scripture, by the Spirit, we are being circumcised. The Spirit, who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is searching our heart and helping us to get rid of anything that shouldn't be there and unnecessary. So the law of circumcision wasn't necessary abolished, but God brought us a new and a better way that would be profitable, that would aid us in our walk, that would help guide us, that we could be on a straighter path with the circumcisions not made by hand, but made by the Spirit in our heart. And the scripture even talks about, if we look at the 5th to the 9th verse, they say, "For we through the Spirit wait for hope of righteousness by faith." The Spirit allows us to realize that we have hope of righteousness, because you see, God said we could never be righteous, but he extended our righteousness unto us in the word of God, and a revealing of the Holy Spirit allows us to know, which gives us hope. And 6 said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which is worked by love." Number 7, "Ye did well." Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth. 8, "And the persecution cometh not of him that called you." He say, even a little leaven the whole lump. You see, we are saved through the Spirit by faith. In Christ's circumcision, the scripture say, it don't avail it much. It's all by faith that you work in love. You see, how you work your faith. People sometimes say, "Sister Diane, how I get my faith increased and how I get my faith to grow." The scripture right here is telling us it is by faith, which is worked by love. So if you're going to have faith, you got to work it with love. Hallelujah. We are not working to be saved, but because of the free gift that has been given to us, we should want to work. You know, God designed us for work, for a good work. Circumcision was done with man's hand. Allow the Spirit of God to circumcise your heart. And they say, watch how you do things, because just a little leaven, which is yeast, causes the whole lump, which is the dough, to rise. You see, one person could be a little leaven, can leaven, which is to corrupt the whole lump. And that's the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Number 10 say, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubled you shall bear his judgment." He said, look, just keep going. And anybody messing with you, they're going to have their judgment. No, and it say, whosoever he be. And 11 said, "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased?" 12 said, "Would they were even cut off which troubled you?" Okay, what's Paul saying? Paul is saying, be ye steadfast. Keep holding on to the confession of your faith. But those who trouble you will be handled. These battles are not ours. You keep it moving and let God take care of that. God's got you. Every time, you know, I've seen people be in situation and it's a little thing, a misunderstanding or something come up, and they say, "Oh, she don't know who I am. See, she just know this side. She don't know the other side." So just like he say, you who already have received the newness, somebody who said that is really talking about calling up their old sinful nature to handle this situation. So they're going to go somewhere and pull that old mess off the shelf, close themselves back in it to go and handle a situation. And all I could say is, now you did that, now what? Now what? And if you went and they maybe save our new Christians or weaken their faith, if you pull that old nature up and you go up against them, then both of y'all look exactly the same, and two wrongs never make a right. And Paul said, look, if I was still preaching circumcision, because y'all questioning me, he said, then if I was teaching that, y'all would be all right with it. He said, if I was teaching like the false teachers was teaching, no one would be offended or bother me, and I would not have to suffer persecution. He said, so what I'm telling you is the truth. And if we look at 13, 14, and 15, our last verses, it says, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Paul is telling all of us who accepted Christ as our Savior, we are called into liberty. But he said, look at this. Only use not liberty for the occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. He's saying you have the liberty, but just don't be living any kind of way because you know God, Jesus Christ, got your sin. Come on now, y'all. Plenty of people tell me, Sister Diane, you preach a watered-down, not preach, but teach, a watered-down message. One save, always save. So you mean to tell me I could do anything that I want to do? Because the scriptures say we have liberty. But the second part of it say, only use not liberty for the occasion of your sin. Don't just do it any kind of way because you could do it. Just learn to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And then the scripture goes on to say, but by love serve one another. You remember I say you increase and work your faith by love? He's telling you, let your faith grow, but you got to do it in love. And remember, we were created to serve. And 14 said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Read it again. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember the Pharisees and the Sadducees was questioning Jesus, and it was amazing. They always asked him questions they already knew the answer. You know how some people ask you a question, they already know the answer. You know how that disturbs you, how it just get on your nerve. Well, they was asking him questions, and they went to him one time, and they say, Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. Which one of the commandments is the better out of the ten? And God say, Jesus Christ said, it's in red in the Bible, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and love the enemy as yourself. He took the ten and condensed it to two because it's all about love. Now watch this. There was ten commandments. The first four commandments was directed towards how you should love God. Love the Lord thy God. Don't call his name in vain. Don't put idol gods. The first four. Now look how awesome God is. But the next commandments was concerning the relationship that we have to have with one another. Don't steal. Don't covet thy neighbor's things. Come on, y'all. You know, the next six was for us with dealing with each other. Verse 4, read the Ten Commandments, was about your relationship with God. The next six commandments was concerning what kind of relationship we should have with one another. So here we see that God did not abolish the law, but he fulfilled it. He took those ten and he put them in them two. Because if you love on God right, you're not going to put no other God before him. You're not going to use his name in vain and so on. Come on, y'all. If you're loving on him right, and if you learn how to love on one another correctly. You know, I say all the time, if we learn how to love, there would be no need for the 10 o'clock news, because they only report things that's bad, and nobody would be interested in goody-goody two-shoe every night. But if you love your neighbor like yourself, you wouldn't steal his stuff. You surely wouldn't kill him. You wouldn't fool with his wife. Come on, y'all. You know, and so on and so on. So it's all about love. All things through Christ Jesus. And I want to let you know, your salvation is a total free gift. Nothing you could deserve, nothing you deserved, and nothing you could ever earn. Stop allowing, as I said earlier, others to put something else with it. You know, you can't add to it. You can't subtract to it. You know, you don't need to redefine it. It is what it is. Jesus paid the price. All to him we owe. There are laws that are still good and we should do it because, you know, there were civil laws and there was moral laws. And it was, I think, governmental laws. So, you know, love your mother and your father so that you could have long, your days could be lengthened here on earth. Would you want to stop doing it? No, you would love them because he said love your neighbor as yourself. And our neighbors is not just a person in our block. Our neighbors is mankind. The liberty that God has given us is the liberty of freedom to love in spite of and not just because of. You see, love take you that to that journey when you just love everybody. Because the Bible teaches us if we only love those who love us, or we only love our family, or we only love, you know, we pick and choose who we love. You ain't did nothing. He said, that's what the heathens do. Come on now. That's not nothing hard to do. But you got to learn how to love in spite of and not because of. And anybody you're loving, it should be easy, because even if they did you wrong or even if they're doing wrong, you hate the sin. And you got that right, but you love the sinner, because, you know, we all fall short. We are all sinners. Some people do this and other people do that. And then if you're going to correct them in love. And I don't mean correct them, but you want to bring, you know, some hopefully encouragement to them. And, you know, maybe point out what they're doing to them. But you got to do it in love. And as I close tonight, I want y'all to know that the purpose of the law was basically to bring us to Christ. Once we are saved, God desires to glorify himself through our good works. What the scripture say, let your light so shine that men may see the good works. And that's how God get the glory. Once we are saved, God desire to glorify himself through our good works. You're not working to be saved, but because of what Jesus has done, you should want to work. You try to please your heavenly Father. You try to please your earthly father. You want your earthly father to be proud of you. Well, what about your heavenly father? There's things that you do you wouldn't want your earthly father to find out about it. But yet God knows it all, and we do anything in his eyesight. Let's just think about it a little while. God gets the glory through our good works. Therefore, good works follows salvation. They do not precede it. Y'all got that? Good works follow. Once you save, you begin to do good works. But good works do not precede salvation. When the Holy Spirit guides our search of Scripture, we can study to show ourselves approved unto God and discover the beauty of a grace that can produce good works. And that's our lesson for tonight. I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for grace. I even thank God for the law, because the law was necessary in his time. The law had a purpose, and when the purpose was fulfilled and accomplished through what Jesus Christ did, it was no more need. They used to sacrifice bulls and lambs and goats, but God said, I need one ultimate sacrifice. And because I got to save mankind, I need a man sacrifice. God himself allowed himself to come down and go be born by the Virgin Mary, to be allow his spirit to be wrapped up in flesh, to show us the way, to become our Savior, our Lord, and our Master, to offer us grace and mercy. And when he did it, Jesus is the only way, but you must accept him, believe on him, and confess that he is the Lord. And the sin helps us to know we can't save ourselves. And yes, we do need a Savior. If anyone would like to make any comments, you could do so at this time. Any questions anyone would have, you know, anybody who want to put any input into this, you could do it at this time. You could press the one button. If someone would like to pray, you could press the button. Caller, your number is 504-355-562. Your mic is open.
Good night, everyone. My name is Kathy Foxworth, and I want to take the time right now to say a silent prayer or a prayer for a person that's really not my uncle, but I just want to say thank you, Jesus, because he had surgery this week. And Ms. Diane, you know Uncle Clinton. He had back surgery, and I forgot to tell you about it, but thanks for the grace of God, Heavenly Father. He's made it through, and he's doing fine. So I just
praise
want to take
God.
This time to say thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you one more time for everything. Not just for Uncle Clinton, but for the world itself. Even when Satan the devil tries every day to try to forsake us and try to make us do bad things, but it's still a grace in the Heavenly Father to say hallelujah, just to wake up in the morning and say hallelujah and be able to say that. So I just want to take this time to say a prayer in the honor of Uncle Clinton. He's really not my uncle, but he makes me feel like a niece, and that's the way I treat him. So I just want to just say thank you, Lord, for saving him, and thank you, Lord, for everything at this time. And thank you, Ms. Diane, for giving me an opportunity to express myself that way.
And do you want to say a prayer?
Well, yeah, I would like to just say, Heavenly Father, at this time, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, not just for myself, but many other people that would like to say thank you tonight, but they can't. And I know that you're still working on healing them, Lord. I want to say thank you for many good friends that I have, so some of the struggles that even my family don't know. They have been here for me and called me, talked to me, and even if they don't know, the words that they share with me is still in the light of you, Heavenly Father. I want to say thank you, Father, for everything even whatever you don't do for me, what you do for others. I would like for you to just keep on blessing those people. And I'm just thankful tonight, Heavenly Father, for you just being my Father. Like Ms. Diane said, my Heavenly Father, just as well as my other father, Willie Foxworth. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing him and blessing a lot of people that I don't have enough time to name tonight. But I want you to continue blessing the world, Lord. And in your name, thank you. And amen.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kathy, for that beautiful blessing, for that beautiful prayer. And we're going to keep lifting each other up in the name of Jesus. And thank you so much for pressing the button. And be blessed.
And you too, Ms. Diane. Thank you very much.
Okay, that'll be our prayer for tonight. If anybody else want to make a comment or pray, and, you know, I don't know if you guys are up on the news of today, but Donald Trump has just signed to make Jerusalem the capital, and he has taken it away from the Tel Aviv. I've been prayerful about it, and I want God to direct me as far as what is it all about. And, you know, it's almost like I sit down and it feels like God used Trump maybe to get something that he wants, because his master plan is going to be fulfilled. And we know that Jerusalem is God's holy city. We know we have to look to Jerusalem for everything. Jesus is going to come back through Jerusalem. That's why we say we always look to the east. But, you know, it is done, and you should, you know, keep up with it. And next week I may speak on it a little bit when I get a little bit more information that I could talk about it correctly and clearly. As the Holy Ghost give it to me, I can give it to you. If there's nothing else to be said on tonight, Is there anything else that someone would like to say? Again, I thank you. Kathy did a beautiful prayer. And lift each other up. We're fixing to enter, well, we already in the holiday season. And next week we know that the book that we're going to study is the book of Ephesians. So I encourage each and every one of you, you could start reading your Ephesians, because I don't think it had that many, let me see how many chapters it have. If it's not that many, you guys know I'm going to say to read the whole book. Ephesians got more than I think. No, that's Hebrew. Let me see. Galatians, Ephesians. So, Ephesians only have 6 chapters, and I think y'all are big enough to just read 6 chapters. I just read as much as you can. And remember, all of the reading that you do is for you. I will post as soon as possible what chapter we coming out and what verses, because sometimes people don't have time in their schedule to read as much, but they really would like to review the scriptures that's going to be expounded on. And I'll give that out as soon as God tell me what he want me to give you guys. But for as that, I'm going to do a benediction, and we're going to close for tonight. My desire is always the same, that all of us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Till we meet again, God be with you. And always remember, if you take care of God's business, he's going to take care of yours. And with that being said, I want you to know that God loves you, and God says he's fond of each and every one of you. It makes me smile every time I say that, because I be telling myself all the time after I, you know, read it in a book, you know, God is fond of me. That take away the edge and off of me that I'm not as good as I should be, and I'm not as good as I could be, but God is fond of me, and I want you to know that he's also fond of you. And with that being said, I can say to each and every one of you, have a good night, a great week, and be blessed in the things of God. Good night.